I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that you have a fruitful and a profitable week in the Lord. And thank God that we can come once again to worship and to hear and to receive God's word for our spiritual edification. And once again, a warm welcome to our visitors, Alex and others perhaps, who has joined us. James has explained to us two characteristics of a mature Christian. Who is a mature Christian? He is one who is patient in troubles or in the trials of life. James 1. And then in James 2, the one who is mature practices the faith or practices the truth. In this section, in chapter 3, James shared the third characteristic of a mature believer, of one who is truly in Christ. And he is one who has or she has power over his or her tongue. The Christians that James wrote to were apparently having serious problems with their tongue. And of course, we know that we too, in our church and in many of our churches and in our lives, we as Christians, we are also having very serious problems with our tongue. James has instructed us, or rather instructed them, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1:19. He has also instructed the believers to bridle, and or rather to that those who do not bridle his or her tongue is not really religious. Even before this chapter 3, if you look at James 1:26, James has already pointed it out to us that those who do not bridle his or her tongue is not truly religious. We must speak and act as though we are or we were already facing Christ in judgment. Look at chapter 2, James chapter 2 verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Therefore, if we are believers, we ought to be very careful with our words, speak and act as though we were already facing Christ in judgment. When you read passages like James chapter 4 verse 1, verses 11 to 12, you get an impression that the situation in the church that James addressed was like a war zone. There were many strife, quarrels, and so James has to step in to deal with one of the many issues in this church. And this particular issue is the tongue. The power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. With the tongue, man can praise God, man can pray, preach the word, and lead the lost to Christ. What a privilege, isn't it? But, sadly, at the same time, the same tongue can tell lies, ruin a man's reputation, or break a person's heart. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others and to accomplish tremendous tasks. And yet, we take this ability for granted. Our subject this morning is controlling the tongue or bridling the tongue for Christ. In order to impress upon us the importance of controlled speech and the great consequences of our words, James gave us six pictures of the tongue. One, firstly, the beak. Or the other one is the rudder or the hem. Fire, a picture of a poisonous snake. a fountain, and a fig tree. We can put these six pictures into three meaningful characters for our learning that reveal the three powers of the tongue. The first power of the tongue is the power to direct, referencing to the bit and the rudder in verse 1 to 4, James chapter 3. It seems that everybody in this early church, the church that James wrote to, wanted to teach, wanted to be teachers. The word masters there, referring to teachers. And to be spiritual leaders. So James had to warn them, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Perhaps they were impressed with the authority and prestige of the office and forget about the tremendous responsibility and accountability, both to God and to man. Those who teach the word face the stricter judgment, just like those who know the law and break the law will face the greater punishment. Furthermore, teachers must practice what they teach, otherwise their teaching is hypocrisy. Think of the damage that can be done by a teacher who is unprepared or whose life or spiritual life is not up to par. But teachers are not the only ones who are tempted and sin. Every Christian must admit that, for in many things we offend all. Is this not true? James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. And sins of the tongue is top of the list. The person who is able to discipline his or her tongue gives evidence or proof that he or she can control his or her body. Look at verse 2. Chapter 3. For in many things we offend, or if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, or a complete man, or a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The ability to control the tongue proves that he or she is a mature or a perfect believer. Is James making a mistake by connecting sins of the tongue with sins committed by the whole body? Is there any connection? Is there any mistake in that? No, there's no mistake, because words usually leads to action or deeds. A person makes an unguarded statement and suddenly finds himself or herself in a fight, in a quarrel. His tongue has forced the rest of his body to defend itself. In selecting the bit and the rudder, in James 3, 4, James presented two items that are of small themselves, yet exercise great power, just like the tongue. The tongue is a small member, as you know, in the body, and yet it has the power to accomplish great things. Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The bit must overcome the wild nature of the horse, and the rudder must fight the winds and currents that would drive the ship off its course. The human tongue also must overcome contrary forces. Believers, Christians, though regenerate, still have a corrupt nature that controls us and makes us sin. There are circumstances around us that make us say things that we ought not to say. Sin on the inside and pressures on the outside are seeking to get the control of our tongue. This means that both the bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. When believers seek the Lord Jesus Christ to help in controlling the tongue, then and only then, we need not fear saying the wrong things or even saying the right things in the wrong way. We thank God that we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is only for the believers, not for the non-believers. Luke 12 verse 12 says, "For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, warned Solomon in Proverbs 18:21. No wonder David prayed, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to anything evil. Psalm 141 verse 3 to 4. David knew that the heart is the key to right speech. He understood the importance or the danger of not watching over his tongue. In the New Testament, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When the Lord is the Lord of the heart, then he is the Lord of the lips too. Is the Lord Jesus the Lord of your heart? Have you surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior? You will not be able to control or tame your tongue unless, first of all, you know Jesus as your Savior. And you will always find yourself getting into trouble with your tongue because you do not have the help of the Holy Spirit. It is already in the Scripture. No man can tame the tongue. But it is not impossible to tame the tongue or control the tongue. Only those in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can do so. And so the bit and the rudder have the power to direct, which means they affect the lives of others. The words we speak affect the lives of others. A judge says guilty or not guilty, and those words affect the destiny of the prisoner, his family, and his friends. Let us never underestimate the power of the tongue, our tongue, by the words you speak or do not speak. When it is necessary and needful for you to speak and you don't speak, and the right use of your tongue, you are also sinning against God. The Lord Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and her life and the life of her neighbors experienced a miraculous change. This we read in John 4. Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 souls came to salvation through faith in Christ. Acts chapter 2. Indeed, the tongue has the power to direct others to the right choices. It would do us a lot of good to study frequently the book of Proverbs, and to note especially the many references to speech or the use of tongue. For example, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15 verse 1. Another one, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12 verse 22. In the multitude of words there wanteth or lack not sin, but he that restraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 10 verse 19. Yes, the tongue is like a bit and a rudder. It has the power to direct. How important it is that our tongues direct people in the right way. And therefore, I suggest that make it a daily prayer for those of you who are in Christ. Make it a daily prayer for yourself, just like David prayed. Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord, and keep the door of my lips, that I might not sin against thee and shame and dishonor thy holy name. The second power of the tongue is the power to destroy. This is in reference to the fire and poison, or the poisonous animal, in verses 5 to 8. A fire can begin with just a small spark. It can grow to destroy a city. Our words can start fire. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no tailbearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Proverbs 26, 20 to 21. Like a fire, the tongue can hit things up. David wrote, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then speak I with my tongue. Psalm 39 verse 1 and verse 3. Have you ever had that experience? Of course you have. A hot head and a hot heart can lead to burning words that later we will regret. David had a temper, and he had to have God's help in controlling that temper. No wonder Solomon once again wrote, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, meaning to say use few words if you are wise, speak when spoken to, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth or holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28. Fire not only starts small and grows, it creates heat. It also defiles. Fiery words can defile a home, can defile a Sunday school class, can defile a church. The only thing that can wash away that defilement is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only those in Christ can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, tame the tongue. Fire burns and hurts, and our words can burn and hurt. One of the sorrows our Lord Jesus had to bear during his earthly ministry was the way his enemies talk about him or criticize him. They call him a man gluttonous and a wine devil in Matthew 11 verse 19. Why? Because he graciously accepted the invitation to dine or to have a meal with people the Pharisee did not like. When Christ performed miracles, they said what? He was in collaboration with Satan. Oh, what words they use against our Savior. Even when he was dying on the cross, his enemies could not let him alone, but threw vicious taunts into his face. Fire spreads, and the more fuel you give it, the faster and further it will spread. The tongue set up on fire the course of nature. James 3:6. Or the translation in NIV is, the tongue sets the whole course of his life on fire. A person's entire life can be injured or destroyed by the tongue. Time does not correct the sins of the tongue. We may confess our sins of speech, but the fire keeps on spreading. Our own words may not have caused wars or destroyed cities, but they can break hearts, break friendship, and ruin reputations. They can also destroy souls by sending them into eternity without Christ. How important, therefore, it is for us to let our speech be what? Let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Colossians 4 verse 6. I repeat, let us make this our prayer, our daily prayer. Lord, help us that our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, words that edify, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Not only is the tongue is like a fire, but it also like a dangerous animal. It is restless and it cannot be ruled or unruly, as we are told in verse 8, and it seeks its prey and then pounces and kills. Some animals are poisonous, and some tongues spread poison like the poisonous snake. How many times has some malicious, manipulative person injected a bit of poison into the conversation? For what purpose? Hoping it would spread and finally get to the person he or she wanted to hurt. James reminds us that animals can be tamed, and for that matter, fire can be tamed. When you tame an animal, you get a worker instead of a destroyer. When you control fire, what happens? It generates power. The tongue cannot be tamed by man himself, but it can be tamed by God. Your tongue need not be set on fire of hell. Like the apostles at Pentecost, it can be set on fire from heaven for God's glory. If God lights the fire and controls it, then the tongue can be a mighty tool for the winning of the lost souls and building up of the church of God. The important thing, of course, is the heart. For it is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. If the heart is filled with hatred, Satan will light the fire. But if the heart is filled with the love of God, God will light the fire. The third power, this is my third heading, the third power of the tongue, the power to delight. And this is referencing to fountain and the tree in verse 9 to 12. The fountain, of course, as we know, provides the cool water that man needs to stay alive. In oriental countries, the presence of fresh water fountain is a great blessing to a village. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs 18 verse 4. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 10 11. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 13 verse 14. These verses that I quoted to you parallel what James has written and underscores the importance of our words. Water is life-giving, and our words can give life. However, if water is not controlled, what will happen? It brings death and destruction. And that is why Solomon once again says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. A fountain flowing with cool water gives life and refreshment that comes with a drink of the water. So Solomon says, there is that speaker like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12 verse 18. And the apostle Paul's prayer was this, that he might refresh the saints in Rome when he came to them. In Romans 15 verse 32. He often named Christians who had refreshed him. In 1 Corinthians 16 verse 18, and also Philippians 7, verse 20, or rather Philippians 1 verse 7 and 20. How about you? Does your tongue bring refreshment to the saints? Does your tongue refresh particularly those who are troubled and downcast? Water also cleanses. There was a label in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple provided for the cleansing of the priest's hands and feet. God's word is the spiritual water that cleanses us. John 15 verse 3, Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. But our words to others can also help to cleanse and sanctify them when we use it rightly. Our words ought to be like that river described in Ezekiel 47. That brought life to everything it touched. Does that speak of your tongue, dear friends? Is your tongue that river in Ezekiel 47 that brought life to everything it touched? The tongue is also delightful because it is like a tree. In Bible lands, trees are vitally important to the economy. They help to hold down the soil. They provide beauty and shade. And they bear fruit. Our words can help to shelter and encourage a weary traveler and can help to feed a hungry soul. The lips of the righteous feed many. Proverbs 10:21. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. As we share God's word with others, we feed them and encourage them along the way. The most important thing about a tree is the root system. If the roots do not go down deep, the tree will not grow in healthy manner. If we are rooted in the Lord Jesus and rooted in His word of life, then our words will be the fruit of our fellowship and communion with Him. We will be like that blessed man in Psalm 1 and produce fruit in due season. One reason our Lord Jesus was able to say the right words at the right time, and may I add, in the right tone, was because He communed with His Father and heard from heaven each day. Listen to Christ's testimony. He says this, "The Lord," referring to God the Father, "the Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as the learned." Isaiah 50 verse 4. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says this, and we read of what Jesus do. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Mark 1 verse 35. Brethren, if you and I desire to control our tongue and going to have tongues that delight rather than destroy, then we must meet with the Lord Jesus each day and learn from Him. We must get our spiritual roots what? Deep into His word. We must pray and plead and meditate and humbly and willingly submit to the Spirit of God to fill our hearts with God's love and truth. However, James gives us the checklist. He asks, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same time or same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." We expect the fountain to flow with sweet water at all times, and we expect the fig trees to bear figs and the olive trees to bear olives. Nature reproduces after its kind. Therefore, if the tongue is inconsistent, there is something radically wrong or fundamentally wrong with our heart. When Peter was out of fellowship with Christ, he uttered some oaths, but he went out and wept bitterly and confessed his sin. The tongue that blesses God and then turns around and curses man made in God's image is in danger of fire, of hellfire. How easy it is to sing hymns during the worship, and then after the service, get into the family car and argue and fight all the way home. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, say James. The problem, of course, is not the tongue, as I said before. It is the heart. It is bitter envying and strife in our hearts, James 3 verse 14. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Jesus says this in Matthew 15 verse 18. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4, 23. As we fill our hearts with God's word and yield to the Holy Spirit, He can use us to bring delight to others, and we will be refreshing fountains and trees. Let me suggest that you start with 12 words that can bring delight and refreshment to the saints and to those around you. If you use these words and sincerely mean what you say from your heart, you will find that God will use you to be a blessing and encouragement to others. The first word I suggest is say please and thank you in showing your appreciation to others. The second word is, I am sorry. These two words have a way of breaking down walls and building bridges. Third, say this from your heart. the Lord Jesus, the I love you in Jesus' name. As Christians, we should love the brethren and even love our enemies. The next word you can say, I'm praying for you, and be sure that you are doing that. Say in an encouraging way to let others know that you care enough for them to meet them at the throne of grace. Yes, the smallest but the largest troublemaker in all the world is our tongue. But it does not have to be a troublemaker. God can use our tongues to direct others into the way of eternal life and to delight them in the trials of life. The tongue is a little member, but it has great power. Brethren, let us plead and seek the Lord's help to surrender to God our tongue and our hearts each day and ask Him to use us, to use our tongue to be a blessing to others for the glory of God. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, indeed, we thank Thee for this rebuke. We thank Thee for this timely reminder. Indeed, Lord, we know, even from our own experiences, how our tongue has destroyed many friendships, break hearts, hurt others by our sharp words. O Father in heaven, have mercy upon us, for we confess that we are guilty of the misuse of our tongue, that often we are not careful, often we are very quick to wrath, quick to speak, and we foolishly use our tongue in such a way that shame Thy holy name and hurt others, all out of pride. O Father, we pray, have mercy upon us, Thy people, for we as Your children, we confess that we have fallen short of Your glory in this area of our lives. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again, Lord, by Thy shed blood. Sanctify us anew by Thy Holy Spirit. And we plead for Your help in this new week, that Thou wilt set the watch before our mouth and keep the door of our lips, that Thou wilt cause our words to be seasoned with salt, that our words, O Lord, will be gracious, that will edify and that will build up and not destroy and not hurt, and that we may bring glory and honor to Your holy name. O Heavenly Father, indeed, help us, we pray. As we begin the new week, we ask that You will go before us and go with us, and that You will shower Your blessing upon us, that Thou will help us in this new week, O Lord, as we go about our various responsibilities and duties, that we may do it well as unto the Lord, and that we may finish it well for Thy name's sake. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.